Hey, it's great to be with you today. How many of you like me can remember your mom saying something like, "I can't be in two places at once"? Well, I always thought that was true, but today I'm in two places. This week, I'm online rather than in the house. So whether you are here in the room or online, I want to welcome you. I'm Kevin Lee, one of the pastors here at New Work Fellowship, and we're so glad that you are with us. Now, one of the things that we ask everyone to do, whether you are online or in the room, is to complete the digital connect card. So if you haven't done so already, scan this QR code and access the digital connect card. You can also do that through the New Work Fellowship app. We'll give you a moment to do that with your mobile device. This is so important and is the way we can best stay connected. In that card, you can share your prayer requests, you can ask questions, you can indicate your next steps of faith, like, "I want to be baptized," or "I want to attend membership class," or "I want to send my kid to camp." It's so important that you complete the Digital Connect card that if it is your first time to do so, or even your second time to fill it out, we will bless a local ministry partner with an additional $10 donation. So let me encourage you, if you've been online for a long time and you've not ever filled out a Connect card, take that next step. You can be the blessing. And speaking of next steps, after the service today, our pastors will be out in the Next Steps area of the Commons to personally greet you, and I look forward to being able to do that on future weeks. So I guess that leaves the question, if I'm not in the house, where am I? I'm on a road trip. I'm traveling to Arkansas to share in the funeral of a dear friend, Bill Dixon. He was in my church when we lived in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. He was a world traveler, visited over 40 different countries, and in his travels, he created a museum in his home, different items from every trip. He even visited our neck of the woods a few years back. He came to visit us, and we did a little antique shopping, and of course, what would be a trip here without a taste of Farrell's? So you can see Bill had a good, full life. So I'm there, but I'm still here. So look, Mom, two places at one time. And speaking of travel, anytime I travel, I use a GPS to tell me the way to go. You know, I'm convinced there are two kinds of people in this world when it comes to GPS. There are those who trust their GPS. Whatever it says, you do. When it says turn, you turn. So quick show of hands and keep them up. How many of you always trust your GPS? Now look around. Those are our rule followers, and there's nothing wrong with that. The other kind of GPS people are like me. You're a skeptic. You think you know the shortcut. You have a faster route. Another show of hands. How many of you, when you look at the estimated time of arrival, think to yourself, "I can beat that"? Hands up, look around. These are the folks who should be driving, right? I mean, it almost makes it like a game show in your car. In fact, you may not know it, but every time one of those minutes ticks off on your ETA, it's like a little hit of a brain rush of dopamine. GPS is one of the greatest things ever, because let's be clear, we are all on a journey. It's called life. And today we are road tripping, and that's why I am loving this series, Cutting Straight. It's based on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I still love the King James for this verse. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That phrase, rightly dividing, that always meant to me, you need to understand the word. You need to interpret it well. And that fit me so well because I've always loved studying the Bible, digging in and learning. I love seminary because we would dig deeply. That word, rightly dividing, it only shows up in the Bible one time. Orthotomeo is the word. It means straight, it means smooth, it means cut. The NTE version captures it well. It puts it this way: do your very best to present yourself before God as one who has passed the test, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, who can carve out a straight path for the word of truth. I love that, carve out a straight path. Don't you think we could use a little bit more straight paths in this crooked world? You see, you got to cut straight. And that's what we've been learning. Week one, we learned about our sealed identity. The Bible is the book that tells me who I am. The second week, we talked about growing wisdom. We need instruction on how to live. And the Bible is the book that tells me how to live. And today, week three, fight temptation. In other words, how to come back, how to recover. This is the book that tells me how to overcome sin and temptation. So open your Bibles with me as I read Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now, as we read this passage, I want you to pay attention to how Jesus used the Word of God to carve out a straight path in a tough time in His life. This is the wilderness temptation. After Jesus' baptism, He goes head-to-head with Satan. So follow along with me as I read. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where He was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the Scriptures say people do not live by bread alone." Then the devil took Him up and revealed to Him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me." Jesus replied, "The Scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only Him." Then the devil took Him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the Scriptures say He will order His angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The Scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So notice what the Bible says about why Jesus was in the wilderness. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where He was tempted. In other words, this was not an accidental encounter. This was intentional. This was a showdown. This was high noon. From day one of His ministry, Jesus pushes back against evil and the evil one. That's the trip that He was on. And listen, we're all on that same trip. Just like Jesus, you're on a journey, and you're going to experience hardships and setbacks, and you're going to face temptations. You have struggles in your life. And what Jesus did here is He shows us the way through it. Jesus came to do what we cannot do for ourselves. That's good news for us. And so on this trip that we call life, we're going to face the very same struggles. So look at where the fight began. Verse 3, He says this, "If you are the Son of God," Satan begins his attack with identity. Who are you? And that's why you needed week one of this series. Your identity is sealed. You see, God is the one who tells you who you are, not Satan, not this world. You are not defined by your sin or struggles. God created you to be a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, and only this book gets to tell us who you are. But your identity isn't enough in this fight. You also need to be wise, to be filled with wisdom. That's what we looked at last week. Wisdom begins in fearing the Lord, being rooted in His Word, growing in Christ. And it's foundational for the journey because all of us are going to face struggles and difficulties just like Jesus. In fact, do you remember what Jesus said? In John 16:33, He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's right, trouble. And it's true enough, right? In another place, Matthew 6, He said this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It's pretty clear we're going to have trouble. Jesus faced a 40-day focused attack. And if Jesus went through that, why do we think that we're somehow going to be exempt? Here's a second truth that you need to grasp. Not only are we all on this same trip, we all get tripped up. Now, I find it interesting that Satan still uses to this very day the same exact tactics to trip us up that he used with Jesus. So let's look at the three temptations. First, he used bread. By the way, this is not the beginning of keto. He tried to trap Jesus with the natural, normal appetites. He was hungry, Well, I guess so after 40 days of fasting, right? Listen, I've just recently started fasting in my life and I am nowhere to that level of fasting, but you get hungry. Satan attempted to get Jesus to pacify his cravings, and he does the very same thing with us. He doesn't have to get us to commit some huge, horrific, terrifying evil in order to trip us up. Sometimes it's the simplest thing. He just wants to make us ineffective. He wants us to be less than what God has for us. And how often for us is the temptation to just escape and satisfy our cravings? We veg out in front of the latest Netflix series and do not connect deeply with others, or we mindlessly consume sugar cravings and we hardly notice what it does to our bodies, or we want that one more drink to numb the day, or we think, who's it gonna hurt to watch that explicit video? We just continue to feed the cravings, to find our pacifiers, to escape the higher purpose and higher calling in our lives. And before you know it, you've missed out on God's good plans for your life. And so, to this seemingly harmless bread temptation, Jesus says in verse 4, you do not live by bread alone. Now, he's quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, and he just quotes a part of it, but you need to know all of it. And what that verse says is this: yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It's talking about another wilderness road trip when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, where God fed them and provided for them through manna. And why did he feed them? He fed them to remind them that life is actually in God's word, that your life is not in your hunger, your life is not in your craving, your life is not in your temptation. What you long for, what you were made for, is God and his word in you. But without that, gosh, we go from one struggle to the next, one temptation to the next, one craving to the next, and we're never satisfied and we're never out of trouble. It's like we fall into the same old trap time after time. Maybe that's why the Bible calls us sheep. You know that, right? We're sheep. Here's the thing about sheep. They are not the brightest of animals. It's true. They tend to get back into the same trouble over and over again as well. Listen, I want you to watch this video. Maybe you've already seen it on social media this week, but it just cracks me up. And the truth about this video is, hey, this is me all day long. And I think this is you. Watch this video. Man, that cracks me up. But man, that's me. And I got a suspicion it might be you. My girls hated it when they were growing up, but I used to always quote Proverbs 26:11 to them. It says this: as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I'm sorry, it's not a pretty word picture, but it's so true. How oftentimes do we find ourselves doing the same stupid things over and over? The addict that returns to the next hit. The purchase that we think, oh, it's going to make me happy, but instead it just entraps us in debt. The power up that we pull in our relationships to get our way, only to find the relationship sabotaged. How do we ever break through that? How do we ever overcome our propensity to sin? Listen, it's all about God's word. Jesus fought off every thrust of the evil one with the word of God. To the temptation to settle for just pacifying a craving, Jesus declared that the greater craving was the word of God. Now, next he was tempted with the prestige of power. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you worship me. Listen, that was a bald-faced lie. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. He does not speak the truth. So Jesus replies with the word of God, Deuteronomy 6:13 this time. And if you go back to that verse, you'll find it set in the midst of a discussion about what it's like to live among all the nations of the world. And the point of it is this: all of the stuff in the world might look really good to you, but what matters is that you stay focused on the Lord God. And that's why Jesus said, you'll worship and serve only the Lord. So Satan couldn't get Jesus to stumble into pacification of cravings or the power of prestige. So third time's a charm, right? Well, listen to what happens in verse 9. It says, "Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and he said, 'If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.'" So picture this. Satan takes Jesus on a road trip. Maybe not literally. Maybe it was more like a dream sequence. The temple was on a hill. It overlooked a valley, the Kidron Valley. Josephus, the ancient historian, he said it was a precipice that dropped 450 feet. He described how anyone who looked over the edge of the temple would become dizzy. Jump off of that? Let me tell you, that's not much of a temptation to me. I don't do heights. So what was the temptation? This temptation was to pride, the presumption of pride. And Satan even quotes scripture. He's saying, look, you have a shortcut to this messianic adoration that you're after. This is a better way. This is a quicker way to glory. And it won't hurt one bit. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Oh, he's good. The spectacle of pride looked so much better than the suffering of the cross. But again, Jesus sees right through the deception. So what does he do? Again, he goes to the Word of God. He quotes in chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which is actually talking about Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. And the theme of that verse, the idea of the passage, is God really with us? How often do we give into that kind of thinking when we're a hard place? Is God really with us? Is God really for us? Does God really love us? If God loves us, then why are we going through these hard times? And what Jesus was reminding us of is that God really is with us. We're all on this journey, and we all certainly get tripped up. But what we really need is a road to recovery, and that's what Jesus shows us here. He shows us the way out of temptation and sin, and he's the right one to learn from, because we're told in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, this high priest of ours, talking about Jesus, he understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He was tempted in every way like you and me, but he didn't fall. He didn't sin, not once. That's certainly not me, and it's not you. So we need a way to recover when we mess up, and the way is Jesus. Now, earlier when I read to you what Jesus said about trouble in John 16, 33, I just read this part. In this world you will have trouble. But listen, he goes on to say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, he knows the way for us to overcome. So what do we learn from Jesus? How do we fight temptation? Well, it's really all about the Word of God. Every single time he faced a temptation, the Word of God made a way out. So really the question is, how do we grow in God's Word? Let me share with you what I call the five-finger approach to God's Word. So there's this page, and I want to encourage you to take it out. It was in your seat, or it's available online through the listening guide. And I'm not going to go over all the details of this page, but let me just quickly describe to you how God's Word gets into you. Now, you'll notice that the first finger is to hear God's Word. God's Word was meant to be heard. In fact, about 4 years ago, I started listening to the Bible through every year, as well as reading it through. And listen, it just helps for you to hear God's Word. You also hear God's Word in worship. That's why it's so important that every week you find a time to be in worship. And then it says you read. Look, I am so encouraged by the numbers of you that are reading the Bible through together this year. For God's Word to get into you, you got to get into God's Word. And then study. I already told you, I love to study. We all need to study God's Word. The best way to study God's Word is to study with other believers. And listen, if you're not in a group, you need to get in a group. And if you go to the Next Step area out in the Commons, you'll find this little flyer that will tell you all about the groups that you can be a part of. Now, the next finger, the pointing finger, is memorize. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, man, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. We all can memorize. Listen, when I bought my truck, all these truck people started asking me all kinds of questions like, hey man, what kind of engine did you get in that truck? Well, when they began talking, they start using numbers in gibberish that I don't understand. And usually my answer to what kind of engine did I get in that truck is, well, I got the one that came with it. Listen, the point is, we remember all kinds of things, details about cars or trucks, stats about favorite college football teams. We remember the songs to lyrics we love. My grandson, he's learning about Pokemon, and he's learning about all these strange creatures. Others of you, you memorize what it takes to smoke a brisket just exactly right. The point is, we can memorize, and you can memorize God's word. Let it get into you. Listen, when I was a kid, we had a Sunday school contest to see who could memorize the most Bible verses in a year. And whoever won got a trophy. And let me tell you, I wanted that trophy, and I won. Well, that picture you're looking at, that's not me. I was never that cute, trust me. But let me tell you about that trophy. I kept that trophy for decades. I kid you not. I'm actually a little embarrassed of how much I treasured a plastic trophy. But you know what? The trophy wasn't the prize. The prize was the number of verses that to this very day still come to mind at opportune moments. Now, you may not be a trophy winner, but let me tell you, you can memorize. What if you memorized one verse a week? That's doable, don't you think? 52 verses in a year. If that's too much, what about one verse a month? That would be 12 verses in a year. Just think about what kind of difference that might make in your life. Now, the last finger is meditate. You got to think about it. You need time to let God's word marinate in your life. So when you're doing your chair time, that 15 minutes in the day, let me encourage you to find one verse, one thought, one idea, and chew on it all day. I tell people this, chair time should lead to chew time. You just keep chewing on it. Listen, when you learn to cut straight the word of God, you not only know your identity, you not only have wisdom for life, you have become equipped to fight temptation and to keep on the straight and narrow path. And that's what you want. Because let's be honest, we're all gonna stumble. Every one of us will fall. But the goal always remains the same. You want to hit the mark. Think of it this way. Long before any of us had GPS, there was a tool that was called a compass. You know how a compass works, right? It marks true north. In fact, even on your mobile device, you may have an app, and you will find that you can actually set your compass to true north. Listen, Jesus is the true north for all of life. He's the mark that we want to hit. And so you keep looking at Jesus. You keep walking with Jesus. You keep striving to do what he did. And this is what he did. He was the Word, and the Word was in him, and he was the Word made flesh. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he also said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. In other words, Jesus is your true north for how you experience and live out a full life. You want a full life? You want eternal life? You want the best life possible? You follow closely after him. Let him be the mark. And when you do, watch this. This is what happens in you and in me. And this is your final thought. You get into God's Word, and God's Word gets into you, and then even you become the Word of God in the flesh. And that's how you fight temptation. Would you pray with me? God in heaven, we're all on this journey, and we thank you so much for sending Jesus into this world so we would have an example to follow. We thank you that he gives to us life, that he gives to us eternal life, that he gives to us a way out of the trouble and the failure and the brokenness that is so much a part of life. And so, Father, we pray that right now, today, we would recognize the need that we have to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ and to set our course according to the true mark that He has set before us. Father, if there's anyone here who, under my voice, has not yet started that commitment, that journey with Jesus, I just pray that today would be the day that they would declare in their heart that You are their Lord, You are their God, and that they turn from their sin and their failure, that they would no longer be identified by brokenness, but they would be identified by who You made them to be, a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.